Please turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, and that is on page 984 in the Pew Bibles. 984, Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. We have come to the last message in a four-week series on serving God and our callings in those roles He's put us in. First, we talked about the calling of husband and father, and then wife and mother. And then last week, the calling of the unmarried Christian. And this week, the calling of young people, children, and students. When I say young people, I am talking about very young children all the way up to young adults and even beyond. And because so many of our young people are students, I will be saying a few words about how God has called our students to serve Him in their callings. As far as the sermons after this morning, the sermon next week is going to come from Colossians as well, and is going to focus on how we should behave as Christians relating to those outside the church. And then I will start on a series on the birth of Jesus Christ, which will take us up through Christmas. And then after Christmas, I will start back in the book of Genesis, which I had been preaching through in the evening service. We'll start up in Genesis chapter 18 at the end of December. But this morning we're in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. This is God's holy word. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And this is the ending of God's holy word for this morning. That's a short verse with lots of application. We're going to have 4 points this morning. First, what obedience is. What obedience is, as we try to frame this command, understanding what obedience is. And then secondly, how God wants children to obey. And that gets into the very heart of this verse. And then thirdly, by way of nuance, obedience in different ages. What should the younger children take away from this? What should older children, and so forth? And then finally, a brief word to students. So what obedience is, what it means for children to obey, what obedience looks like in different ages, and then finally, a note for students. The main idea for children this morning is quite simple. Please the Lord by obeying your parents. It's just rephrasing the verse, right? That's what it says, and the message is pretty clear. And we'll talk about what that means this morning. When you honor your parents, the Lord Jesus Christ is glad at the good work He's doing in you. Let's begin this morning by talking about what obedience is. Children, obey your parents in everything. What does it mean to obey? In short, obedience means following the instructions of someone over you. Following the instructions of some authority over you. Obedience. So God says to you, you shall not steal. And you don't steal because He said that to you. That would be obedience. Now God puts human authorities over you as well. So mom says, clean your room. The teacher says, do your homework. The pastor says, let us pray. All these authorities God has put over you. If you follow those instructions, that is obedience. However, we must immediately say that obedience does not merely consist in outwardly following instructions. No, the heart has to be engaged and involved. Real obedience springs from the heart, wanting to obey. And if you in your heart want to obey, then you obey cheerfully, quickly, thoroughly, and in order to please the Lord. To put the same thing negatively, if obedience is not quick, cheerful, thorough, and done to God's glory, then it's not real obedience. Here are three things about obedience to keep in mind. And here I'm speaking to children and I'm speaking to adults as well. Three things about obedience to keep in mind to frame what it is we're talking about. First of all, there is a connection between obedience and righteousness. Obedience and righteousness. God has made us human beings as moral creatures. That means we have the ability to make choices between right and wrong. Innately, we have that ability to choose. Now, how we choose and why we choose what we choose is a different discussion, and that's for a different time. But God has made us with that innate ability to make choices. We are also creatures under authority. First, under his authority. Secondarily, under the authority of other human beings he's put into our lives. Like parents. If a person obeys lawful commands out of loyalty to God, then that's obedience. Adam, in the garden, behaved righteously as long as he obeyed God. That obedience was righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ behaved righteously when he became, do you remember Philippians 2, when he became obedient to the point of death. That was righteous. It was pleasing to the Lord. So righteousness or right morals comes to expression in obedience. Secondly, there's a connection between obedience and happiness. God made us to obey him. He made us to obey him. And we know true joy when, first of all, and this is the most important thing, when, first of all, you come into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, when you confess your sins, when you trust in Christ, and you become one of God's redeemed people. That's the most important thing for each one of us to do. And that's the groundwork for true joy and happiness. When we do that, and also when we obey him as redeemed people like he intended. I'll put it this way. Joy comes when what you do follows your design. God designed you to be happy in submission to him. You can use something contrary to his design, as you know very well. If you have a nail to pound in the wall, you can use a hammer. You could use a grandfather clock, too, if you wanted. But the results wouldn't be very happy. You use something contrary to his design, and it's not going to be happy. You, God has given you a life. How are you going to use it? Are you going to use it to serve him as he intended? Or are you going to go your own way and pursue your own desires? That will result in misery, oftentimes in this life and certainly in the next. But you find true delight when you delight in God's word, as Psalm 1, verse 2 says. Okay, the connection between obedience and righteousness, a connection between obedience and happiness, and a third thing Scripture teaches is that there's a connection between obedience and hardship. Obedience and hardship. Because we live in a fallen world. And if we're going to obey God, there is resistance to be overcome from the people around us who do not like what is involved in obeying God. At some level or another, and it differs in various places, obeying God is going to stir up resistance and persecution. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So we'll find resistance outside ourselves. We'll find resistance as well inside ourselves. Because obeying God often means the hardship of overcoming our inward resistance to doing hard things. Okay, so there's those three things. Obedience and righteousness, obedience and happiness, obedience and hardship. And we do have struggles, obviously, in rightly thinking about obedience and in rightly obeying. Now, we're still under the category of what obedience is here. I'm going to talk about two struggles we have before we move on. We come into the world with an inner twist against doing what God says. Psalm 51:5 says we're conceived in iniquity, in sin our mothers bring us forth. So we come into the world with this twist. And even if we're saved, even if we trusted in Jesus and he's changed our heart, as Paul says in Romans 11, sin still lives within me. It's still in there. And Satan continues to whisper his poisonous counsel in our ears. And that makes obedience a continual challenge. One specific challenge we face in obeying is to obey only those commands and people that we like. To obey only those commands and people that we like. There's a story about two fellows who were talking, and one asked the other, is your dog obedient? And the other responded, absolutely, he's perfectly obedient. Every time I tell him not to come, he doesn't come. And, you know, you think about that and you ask, is that true obedience? But then to apply that to us, how often is our obedience like that well-trained dog, right? Oh, we'll obey as long as it's what we wanted to do anyway. right? Obeying God, though, means doing His will for His sake. It's not obeying God for our convenience, for our pleasure. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 explicitly says that it is trials or difficulty that make tests of our faith. So our obedience is especially tested under trials. And it's especially important to obey God when it's difficult. There's another challenge that faces us when we think about obedience. And here I'm thinking about a challenge for parents. And this is kind of along a different track, a different application. But for parents, we have the challenge of remembering to train children according to the gospel instead of the law. Or to put it differently, to make sure that the law serves its proper function of supporting the gospel. Now, we do use the law heavily when training children, don't we? Lots of rules, lots of commands, lots of citing the Ten Commandments, and that's as it should be. In fact, that's probably most of what we do. But the only the gospel can really equip our children to truly obey God. Let me illustrate it to you parents this way. Do you remember the last time you got pulled over? Or do you remember the last time that you had an annual review and you got some negative remarks on that review? Or do you remember the last time an elder may have given you some feedback on some area, some constructive advice? In other words, when some authority figure in your life brought some critique or correction to bear on you, did you receive it humbly or did you flare up under it? I think we have all had the experience of flaring up when we've been critiqued. Think about one of those moments in your life. Take a little snapshot of that. Click. It's just that emotion that your children are dealing with when you train them. Now consider your own case. What's the prescription for you when you have that feeling, when you realize that you are in an unhumble frame of mind, you're ungracious, you've been unteachable. Somebody brought you correction, and you were not even willing to take it on board to whatever extent you could. What's the prescription for you? What do you need? Don't you need repentance to get down on your knees before the Lord God and say, Jesus Christ, forgive me. I am having trouble because I'm proud and I'm having a bad reaction to authority because I don't want people telling me what to do. In other words, when those things happen, we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to realize what's wrong with us and to turn to God in a true proper repentance and be forgiven. Our children need exactly the same thing. Okay? Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ is not different from what we need. It's the same thing. So it's not all about being quiet in the pews, although that's part of it. That was actually my manuscript, by the way. So it's not about, you know, not tearing around in the fellowship hall. Of course, that's part of it. We have to train our kids in these things. But as we lay down the law, what we're trying to do is show them their own sin and shepherd them toward Jesus Christ so they can trust in Him. And that's something parents need to be mindful of. And this points to a way that people in the church can help parents training their children. When you relate to kids in the church, remember that what's going on here with kids is more than kid control, but it's shepherding our children, pointing to them their sin and the Savior and leading them to Jesus Christ. And on our part, in the way we relate to them, modeling for them what it means to be a person saved by Jesus Christ, letting them see Christ in us. Okay, that's our first point this morning and probably the longest one. What obedience is. And I say that all by way of framing what's to come. Now, here are young people. In the second point this morning, I'm really going to talk to you. How God wants children to obey is our second point. Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. God says, obey your parents in everything. Now, hopefully your parents would never tell you to do something that God says not to do. Because if that ever happened, then you couldn't obey your parents. You must obey God, first of all. But the Lord here is not talking about parents giving their kids wicked commands. He's talking about parents just training their kids. And he is saying, children, obey your parents in everything. Think about that with me. Why does God say everything? Kids, you can think about it this way. Imagine you're doing a puzzle and you're putting those pieces in there. And you get to the very end and there's a piece missing. It's lost. Or maybe somebody hid it. You'd probably be bothered by that. You'd probably go looking for it. You want to finish the puzzle. Kids, that's how God thinks when he looks down at you. He looks at what he's doing in your life. And he wants to see all that obedience in place. He doesn't want to see anything missing. And yet when God looks on each of our lives, he sees that there are things missing. And so God goes to work in us by his Holy Spirit and using parents to fill in that obedience that's missing. God wants to see all the obedience there. If dad says, come inside and do your homework, and you come inside, but you don't start your homework, there's a piece missing. If mom says, clean your room, and you go to clean your room, but first you frown, or first you stop and do something else, there's a piece missing. The cheerfulness, the promptness. But God says, obey in everything, because he loves you. And God wants you to be holy just like he is holy. Now, when you think about who God is, there's nothing missing from God. God is never, one day he's loving, but he forgets to be wise, or he's holy, but he forgets to be merciful. No, God is always everything he should be. And when God is doing a good work in your life, young people, he wants you to be everything you ought to be too, because he loves you and he calls you to be his. He's completing the good work he began in you, Philippians 1:6. And so when you obey, you should also aim to please the Lord. That's what the verse says. Now, as you aim to please the Lord, here's one very important thing to remember. And I already said this, but it's so important, I'm going to say it again. Children, if you want to please the Lord, the first thing you have to do is to believe in the Lord. That is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died for you. You have to trust him. And if you do, if you repent of your sins, if you're sorry for them and trust Jesus to be your Savior, God will wash your sins away. He'll welcome you into his family and you'll be his dear child. And then you can start pleasing the Lord as his child. So the first thing you must do is to trust in Jesus Christ and then set about pleasing the Lord. God smiles then when you quickly and cheerfully obey. And God is grieved when you mumble and grumble and disobey. When that happens, you need to ask your Heavenly Father to forgive you. And God said in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, young people, that is what it means to obey the Lord. That's what the Lord is commanding you to do in these verses. Let's move to our third point this morning and see what obedience looks like for children of different ages. What it looks like for children of different ages. What do different age groups especially need to think about? Okay, first I'm going to talk to young children. Young children. And here I mean especially children of ages, perhaps, well, from very young up to maybe 10 or 11. Much of your obedience, very young children, much of your obedience consists in following simple instructions, right? So when you're one or two, you learn to come. Come. Come here. Then after that, you learn how to get dressed, how to come to the table. How to finish your homework, right? More simple instructions. How not to grab toys or hit your sister with a stick, all those things. You're learning obedience in those simple commands. And that's good. You ought to learn it. Here's one thing I'm going to give you to work on this morning as you obey your parents. That's this. Learn to be happy and trust God when things do not go your way. Learn to be happy and trust the Lord when things don't go your way. This is the basic thought I'm going to leave with younger children this morning. Do you know your parents have to work on the same thing? A lot of times in your parents' lives, God brings things into their lives that they don't like. Why this sickness? Why this sorrow? Why is God doing this? Your parents also have to learn to trust God and not complain. It's the same way with you. Sometimes your parents will tell you to do things you don't want. Time to come in. Time to do your chores. Do you grumble and complain? What do you do? God says, obey your parents in everything. If God is good, and God is good, then you can trust him that his plan is the best plan. And what his plan for you is, obey your parents, even when you feel like doing something else. So obey your parents when you like what they say, when you don't like what they say, because that pleases the Lord. What about older children? Now, here I'm thinking about junior high, senior high, roughly. Of course, everything I've been saying to the younger children applies to you, too. But here's this important difference. You've grown up more. You're further developed. So it's even more important that your spiritual maturity be on track. You should be more and more taking on board what it is I said to the younger children. Now, here's how I would say it to you, junior high, senior high. Seek to remain humble and teachable. Humble and teachable, because this will be such a benefit to you and so honoring to the Lord. Sometimes you will see eye to eye with your parents. Sometimes they will say things that you struggle and you wonder about, and you have difficulty taking on board what they say. And here you are. Your life has such potential. You're growing by leaps and bounds. You're learning. You're developing. If you take on board what the scriptures say here, and you honor your parents, you obey them, and you learn from them, you'll please the Lord. That's most important. But also your personal growth will take off, and you'll be a blessing to the people around you. God will use you. Let me speak to you frankly about some of the dynamics that can arise that can tempt older children to stop learning from their parents in the way they should. What I say here arises from reflection on, as I look around me and as I look back on my own youth. There are dynamics that can tempt a young person to stop growing in spiritual maturity. One is that as you grow, it's more easy to pick out the flaws of those who are over you, parents and teachers. And as you do that, it can be tempting to resist what they say because you can point out those flaws. So that can be a temptation. Secondly, another temptation is you're developing your own ideas about life and the way things are and the way things ought to work. That's good. That's normal. That's natural. But life hasn't punched many holes in your theories yet. And there your parents are. They've been whacked by life a number of times. They've fallen down the stairs, so to speak, been punched in the nose. I'm speaking metaphorically here. Their own ideas about things, or maybe not, but their own ideas about things have not always worked out so well. And so they look at you and they see you, and you are where they were, and they're trying to speak wisdom into your life and say, look, I have a lesson for you here, and and you need to realize that they are seeing things that perhaps you're not. So I encourage you in that humility, too, to realize that the Lord has given you them with their wisdom and you ought to listen to them. A third learning block that I can think of is just simply that unpleasant experience of having older people dismiss what you say. You come up with your ideas and you hear why they're wrong or why it won't work, et cetera, et cetera. And somebody who's in that position can begin to grow hard-hearted and just start shutting out everyone who disagrees with them. And that can be a temptation for young people. It can be a temptation for adults. But keep this in mind, that shutting out wisdom from others is a far greater evil than having your ideas questioned or dismissed. It's far worse to shut out wisdom that God has given you through your parents. So all that frank talk to you, much of it autobiographical. For all of your great potential, young people, for all your great abilities, for all how smart you are and how well you're developing, You're going to be stunted in your growth if you cut yourself off from your parents and you stop learning from them. This morning's passage encourages you to keep that humble, obedient attitude, keep learning, and that is the attitude that's fitting for a person saved by grace. Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 9 puts it poetically when it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. They are a graceful garland for your head." As you learn to obey, as you grow, God is doing a beautiful thing in your life. Now, I have a brief word as well for children who have become adults. Here I'm thinking of college age and beyond. You may have started moving toward that stage where your parents are more friends and advisors to you. The main thing I would impress on you, children, older children, adult children this morning, is the very high view you should continue to have toward your parents. God told Israel in Leviticus 19, verse 3, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." God actually invoked his own name, commanding Israel to revere mother and father. That's part of the fifth commandment. It's still in full force today. God is not saying whitewash who they are. God is not saying agree with them about everything. But he's saying far more than just be pleasant to them or just get along. He's saying much more than that. What does it mean to revere your parents? It means to respect them. It means to be kind and deferential to them. And when they grow older, do not become impatient with them, but continue to care for them tenderly. Think of them highly and treat them well. So that's God's word to you, older children, this morning. Now, I'm going to end with a special note to students. Most young people are also students. God tells you to obey your parents. Your parents send you to school. Some of you go to school at home. Some go to public school or private school. God wants you to obey your father and mother by making good use of your education. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." So your parents are sending you to school to equip you for the future. And it's not just your parents' idea, and it's not just the school's idea. It's also God's idea, because God wants you to listen to advice and accept instruction. And the advice and instruction he's providentially put into your life at this point includes your teachers. So make sure you please the Lord Jesus Christ in your schooling. You please him by doing your work. You please him by listening to and respecting your teachers. There are various temptations associated with being a student. I don't have to tell you. When you are younger, maybe the predominant temptation is just to slide by and do what you can to pass the class. Perhaps as you grow older, the dominant temptation is to idolize your studies, serve school rather than serving the Lord. Can't go to church, got to study for that test, you know, that sort of thing. All those sorts of ways of thinking are out of balance and out of line. The Lord Jesus Christ puts a claim on your obedience, and he reminds you that you serve him, first of all. And what that means for you is to work hard at school, but do it in a way that serves and pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, young people, as I wrap things up here this morning, here's what we have learned. If you trust in Christ, then you know that he loves you. God is looking down on your life, and he's putting those puzzle pieces in place, those pieces of knowledge, those pieces of obedience. God works through teachers, and especially through parents that he has given you. With those things in mind, obey your parents, for that is well pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the young people in this church and throughout the world in every church. We thank you for those you are training up under Christian homes, Christian parents calling to know, love, and serve you. We thank you for the many ways in which they are learning and they're growing and the joy that they are. We pray that you would bless them at every step of the way. We pray, Father, for their parents, that they would day by day lead their children toward the living water of Jesus Christ. Equip parents to keep that goal in mind, and please give fruitfulness to our labors. And please help children to obey their parents. Give children humility and a teachable spirit, and help them to obey cheerfully, even when asked to do hard things. Would you please glorify yourself, Father, by teaching all of us to obey you? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.